afternoon, everybody. I've been with the company for 19 years, but I actually went to my first shareholders meeting way before that. I think it was in 1984, and I think I was 16 years old. My dad was a dentist, and he owned a few shares of Walmart, and the shareholders meeting at that time fit in this room, and that was before we expanded this room. And Sam brought up Sidney Moncrief, who was an Arkansas Razorback basketball player, and that was a high point in my life at that point, to actually see Sidney Moncrief. And today I met Michael Jordan. My life is complete. I don't need anything else, Mike. I'm not even sure you have to pay me this year. I offered Susan Chambers $5,000 to trade with her on today's program, and she declined that. Pretty cool meeting. A lot of diversity in the meeting. Over time, you can certainly see how the associate base has changed, and it's cool to see Chile there this year. We let a lot of associates come from Chile. I think about 275 this year, which would have made them the biggest group, and you could tell that they were certainly enthusiastic. One of the reasons that they're enthusiastic is because of the leadership team that they get to work with in international, and I want to take a minute to introduce the members of that team. And Andy Bond, I'll just start with you since I saw you. Andy Bond runs the ASDA business in the UK, and that team is clicking on all cylinders, it appears, and doing a fantastic job there. Really appreciative of the job that Andy's doing. Vicente Trias, I now see you. Vicente, as you know, was asked to move recently from Asia as a regional back to run all of Latin America. So if you would like, you can congratulate him on his promotion or his change anyway. I'd like to ask the people that report to me in Arkansas to stand up for a second. John Aiden, I see you. If you do, would you please stand up, and I'll just point to you, wave your hand. Mitch Slape runs our development area. John Aiden is responsible for the operating group, which includes merchandising as well as logistics and operations. Jose Angel Gallegos, you heard from him this morning. He leads the people area for international. Juan Ling Martello, who I'm sure you know, leads the finance area for the international team. And I think that's all I see there for the Mitchell Bill. There's Rob Leggett. Rob leads communications for us and a relatively new member of the team. And then I'd like to ask the country presidents to stand up quickly if I could and just wave your hand. I'll start way back in the back. Eduardo Solarzano, who leads our Mexican team, does a fantastic job. Welcome, Eduardo. Hector Nunez, who leads our team in Brazil. Enrique Ostele, who leads that loud Chilean group that we were talking about earlier. Raj Jain, who leads our efforts in India. Ed Kolajewski, who leads our efforts in Japan, Ed Chan, who leads the business in China, and Stefan Fandrel, who's responsible for the business in Russia. How are your sales today? Zero. He keeps saying on budget. And Dave Cheesewright, who I see back here, who leads our business in Canada. So if you would, please welcome all of them. I'll start out by sharing the things that I see in common and then maybe comment on a few of the countries, and then we'll open it up for questions. Around the world, customers are all feeling pressure. And so you've got to start out by thinking about your expense base. What are you spending in expenses? What are you spending on capital? What does productivity look like? So every country around the world is working on increasing productivity. One of the measures that we're focused on today is a new way to compete internally would be units per labor hour. And we track the improvement in that area as one way to track productivity. But the team has also made adjustments in the home office area as it relates to expenses. I think in every country, if not close to every country, has recently made adjustments. The second thing would be communicating or delivering price, I should say, delivering value. That relates to how we're purchasing goods from multinational suppliers, local suppliers, how we're leveraging GP into the business just to get costs down and get sell prices down as much as we can as an advocate for the customer. And then the third component would be the communication of value. And it's the idea that you've got to get credit for your price leadership, because if you don't have the credit, it doesn't really matter that you're delivering it. And in fact, we asked Andy Bond, together with Rick Bendel in the UK, to take on a new responsibility these past few months. And we created a marketing center of excellence where Rick is helping all the countries in the international to stay connected to what Stephen Quinn and the team in the U.S. are doing in marketing and make sure that we're taking those best practices and leveraging them around the world. So we appreciate ASDA stepping up and having an international impact there. I'll start out commenting on Chile. Enrique, I think, would agree that we are making very good progress as it relates to the integration. We are taking a different approach relative to integration in Chile than we've taken in previous acquisitions. Under John Aiden's leadership, we've been working on a project in the last few months that we've implemented in Chile where we're really focusing on a narrower set of issues in the integration. I think our integrations in the past may have been too broad, taken too long, and now we're taking more of a phased approach, and I think it's returning better benefits than what we've done in the past. And certainly appreciate the work, Enrique, that you and your team are doing. Next, I'll comment on the UK. In the last quarter, the Asda team took about 30 basis points in share with their sales growth, and Andy, I believe 40 basis points on the George brand, so it's not just food. And as I mentioned before, a lot of momentum going on in Asda, which we certainly appreciate. In Mexico, Eduardo Solarzano's team is doing a fantastic job, also taking a lot of share, I believe 200 to 300 basis points in share in the last quarter. And they are managing expenses very deliberately. Every one of the formats in Mexico is growing faster than the market. And during the H1N1 crisis in Mexico, Eduardo and his team stepped up and did a great job managing the stores, communicating with associates, communicating with the government, doing all the things that they needed to do to manage through that crisis. We did have to close Suburbia for a few days. We closed many VIPs, and some of the VIPs could only do carry out for a while, which affected sales negatively. But on a net basis, we saw that the swine flu was a moderate positive, not a material issue as we look backwards. I think going forward, Eduardo would tell you he expects some headwind as it relates to resort areas in Mexico not having as much traffic. And we've got 64 stores in resort areas that will be impacted, something like that. So that may be a bit of a headwind going forward in Mexico. Let me see, the next place I would comment on, Ed Kolodziejski, would be Japan. I am pleased with many of the efforts going on there, and I would say cautiously optimistic that we are seeing some momentum build there. The team has been moving more and more categories to everyday low price, creating price leadership, and you would probably know that Japan's GDP is one of the most challenging numbers in the world with the impact from automobiles and electronics. And what's happened in Japan may actually be somewhat in our favor, although we wouldn't wish it on anyone. As people are living through that in Japan, they're more price conscious. And if the Japanese consumer becomes more price conscious over time, that plays into Walmart's favor, into Seiyu's favor. And so Ed is starting to drive some sales increases there. I've heard in the past you'd be updated relative to expense management. The team in Japan has really been bringing down expenses, both in the stores, in the home office, DCs, and everywhere else they can focus on. We need to continue to cause that to happen, and then over time learn how to price at a price leadership position and manage our margins in such a way that we deliver returns. But I think Japan is a long-term proposition, but we are seeing some things there today that are encouraging. I think the only other two things I would mention would be that currency is obviously playing a large role. We would expect that until the fourth quarter, that's what you're going to see. If the currencies stay where they are right now as a basket, that would be the period of time where we would start to see things turn around and we wouldn't have such a big penalty as we've been having the last few quarters. I think that's it, and I'll pause there and open it up for any questions.
Thanks. Doug, could you talk about the inventory management? It seems as if Walmart U.S. has embraced that more than international, and talk about that opportunity. Tom's laughing. In terms of growing inventory at half the rate of sales.
You're being helpful.
Okay.
We have been talking a lot about inventory management and international, and I'd like to call on one of the country presidents to answer it. Just kidding. There's a certain a bit of room for improvement in the international division, and we have the same objective that Tom has stated many times, to get our inventory to grow at about half the rate of sales or less. And there are processes that we've been using both in Walmart U.S. and in Sam's Club with Todd Harbaugh's leadership that can be deployed around the world. And the truth is, some of them are being used and some of them aren't. And there are different attitudes about inventory around the world. And the first thing we have to do is win some hearts and minds that this is really a priority. And by asking the question, you just helped me do that. So I appreciate that. Clearly, huge asset, opportunity to drive return on investment, and within the international division, that's one of the key focus points, sales growth and return on investment, that I've really got on my mind. So I have made a commitment that we will improve as it relates to inventory management, so you can hold me accountable to it in future conversations. Yes, you can, as long as the bar doesn't get any higher.
In fairness to Doug and his team, the situation in inventory is a little bit different in international markets. As you all know, I think, Charles, in every quarter we talk about our inventory, payables to inventory ratio. And as a corporation, that number last quarter was a number like 83% is a number I remember. In our international markets, that ratio, Doug, in many cases could be higher or way higher,
right,
to the extent where payables might be higher than inventory. So that's something to keep in mind. Having said that, the emphasis on improving inventory remains an ultra-high priority. So without putting words in Eduardo's mouth, I think, just like we said this morning, the lower inventory in the store systems that we have now is helping us run better stores. It yields a better customer experience, lower markdowns, lower shrink, lower accident costs, just better overall. So that's meant to be a fully rounded answer.
Deb?
Just to add on to the last question, is there anything that's happened in the U.S. supply chain that we can kind of carry over in terms of learnings to international? And then secondly, can we also get an update on EDLP and EDLC in Japan?
Mm-hmm. John, why don't you answer the supply chain question?
Yes, of course there's a lot that we can learn from the U.S. In fact, most of the processes that Doug referred to just a moment ago frankly originated here, or in many cases from the UK, and we're just in the process of then harmonizing those around the globe. So there's the process side we learn from the US, but there's, I think, even bigger right now is the structural changes that the US has done that I think have really been significant and key in some of their success here, that obviously we have an opportunity to learn from that and replicate around the world.
One conversation that we've been having is where could we work together process-wise across countries that would create more scale, more leverage, create more economic value. And while we want to protect the autonomy in each market to serve the customer, it's possible to do that at the same time as leveraging some of the back-end processes. And I say processes instead of systems because until we have common processes, Roland would quickly remind me, it's hard to have common systems. Relative to EDLP in Japan, Ed Kolodziejski, do you want to pop up and answer that question, please?
In regards to the EDLC side, when we had the analyst meeting in October, I talked about the fact that we had reduced expenses by 180 basis points from the prior year. That is not a one-year kind of event. I'm not able to really disclose the specific numbers, but you will be looking at a multi-year large reduction in expenses. We have a ways to go. We are continuing to see very large improvements in productivity at store level. Doug talked about this units per labor hour. That is a statistic that's important to us. We've improved in units per labor hour by 30% compared to the prior year. The reason for the intense pressure on expenses is to be able to invest heavily in price. All of our price investments seem to be paying off very well. From an EDLP standpoint, we look at it as having price leadership. We are very comfortable that from a food and consumable standpoint, that we can tell our customers with confidence that we have the best price in the neighborhood. And because we're able to do that in those particular categories, we are seeing really quite good growth in comparison to what we've had in the past. We don't have price leadership in every category throughout the store, so there are some general merchandise categories that we still have some work to do.
Go to Dan.
Dan Binder, Jefferies. Just a couple of questions. First, I was wondering if Andy could give us some feedback on what he's seeing in terms of a competitive response as he takes share. Typically, competitors are not going to like that, right? So just curious what you're seeing on that front. Secondly, if you could give us a little more color around this Chilean integration, what is really different? And then thirdly, and perhaps the most difficult question, your operating margins have been down 3 years in a row on international. Some of that has to do with FX, some to do with acquisitions. We understand that. But it's the fastest growing part of your business. You're focused on ROI. When can we expect that to reverse trend?
Okay. Let's take them in that order. Andy?
Yeah, I mean, inevitably, there's some tough, good competitors in the UK, and as you say, they're not going to just sit there and let us take their share. The way they're responding is, as you might expect, in an economic downturn, everyone's being very tough on price. I would suggest, actually, that's great for us. And if you look at TV and press advertising as a simple example of that, 2-3 years ago, all of the top four retailers in the UK had very different marketing propositions. Today, everyone is trying to tell people that they're the lowest price. In a couple of weeks, we, again, for the 12th year running, will be awarded the accolade of being the lowest price retailer. So their attempts are great for us.
John, do you want to describe Project Forge?
Yeah, so as far as the integration goes, this is something that really we started working on more than a year ago, a new template for how we might approach this. And I think the simple answer is to really accelerate integration by focus. And there's three key areas we focus on: the mitigation of risk, the transfer of the culture, and then ultimately the harvesting of value. And each one of those buckets, we've tried to isolate what are the most significant activities that we can do that yield the biggest return in the shortest amount of time, and then to stay focused on that and not be distracted by the literally thousands of other things that we can become distracted by. And by the way, this goes both ways. It's not just what we have to offer to the DNS or to the team in Chile, but it's also what we can harvest back and then kind of reverse engineer around the world. And Kevin Harper and our integration team, I think, have done a fantastic job so far bringing this to life. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out over the next few months.
So relative to the mix of operating margins and profitability, I would offer, I would ask Wan Ling, if she's still here, she was right, there you are, to add anything else you want to add to what I'm about to say, but the focus would be on portfolio management. And we've been reviewing the efficiency frontier, that trade-off between risk and return, and how could we blend a portfolio together that would chart the path that we want to chart. There's a lot in that, as you know. Potential acquisitions come into play, price competitiveness in certain markets that are still underdeveloped from a share perspective for Walmart. So I think my answer would be we would like to see improvement, but at the same time, if there are acquisition opportunities that pop up around the world, we're still going to take advantage of some of those opportunities. But over time, in terms of the way we manage the portfolio, our expectation would be the same as yours, is that we would be bringing that up to be more in line with the rest of the company as we deliver the growth that the company is looking for the international division to deliver. She said I did okay.
Yeah, I guess along those same lines, I'll come back to Ed. I don't know if he's still over there or not, but I was just curious of an update. Do you think that the business will break even this year like you did think earlier in light of what's going on? And I was curious also, you had centralized some processes there with meat and some other areas to reduce cost. And I was curious whether or not the consumer there is responding to more of a packaged product than a local cut product and how that response might be.
Okay. Well, the first one is we really do not provide country-specific profitability forecasts. So I don't believe I'll be in a position to answer that question for you. Your second question, which was about the meat processing, that has actually gone very well. When we went to the centralized meat processing, we are doing the processing ourselves. The product looks exactly the same as it looked when it was processed in the store. So the customer is not seeing a difference. What has been surprising is because our in-stock is better, we have had a sales increase in meat that outpaced what we were expecting. A lot of times when you go through those transitions, you have some bumps in the road, you have a little bit of a negative trend, and then you kind of work your way through it. We were fortunate. The bump in the road was a positive bump.
Let's take one more. Okay. Greg?
Doug, now that you've had a few months in the new role, what's been your biggest surprise in terms of opportunity? And to follow up a little more on that, do you think the growth opportunity more is through acquisition or through building market share in all the markets you already are, given how many markets you're already in?
Organic growth first. M&A within the countries that we're in some cases is still a great opportunity. And then thirdly, entering new markets is how I would prioritize it. I don't know that there have been a lot of surprises. I mean, when I stepped into the job, my expectation was that we had great talent, that there was a lot of autonomy happening in the markets, and I knew that we were winning and taking share virtually everywhere. And those things have continued, and the talent assessment was right in my view. And so what I'm trying to figure out, and I think I have, you know, maybe 90% clarity on it, is what role can I play that will add even additional value and kind of take the baton from Mike and take it to the next level. And right now my answer is this scale issue. I think autonomy is most important and that we need to protect it. But this problem that we have where we're solving the same issue 15 times, it doesn't make sense to me. Working at Sam's, I knew what problems we were solving. Working next to and around Eduardo, I knew what problems he was working on. And as I've traveled around the world, and I've been almost everywhere since February, there are smart people in every country trying to solve the same problem. It's relative to how we're checking people out or what the in-stock level looks like or how we manage inventory. And so what I see is an opportunity to cause us to agree that some of those things should be done in the best practice manner and then do them that way and create more value for the company. So that's where our focus is, and particularly John Aiden is helping figure that out.
Thank you, Doug, and the rest of the international team.